This week, it's Wasim Al-Munzer is my guest. He's a great stand-up comedian, one of the funniest guys, one of the best writers. It's always a pleasure to get to talk with him. We hang out quite a bit, but to record a podcast is actually really fun. We talk about his exploits in Korea, stand-up 101, some of his favorite rooms. It's a great listen, guys. Check it out.
I got teased because of my name, but not nearly as much as my good friend Osama. Because his name was Osama. And after 9/11, naturally, he got bullied. You know, I was probably one of the main guys who bullied him, but regardless. He got bullied so much, he decided to change his name. He changed, from all the names he could have chosen, he went from Osama to Muhammad. Which did not, Osama, that's like going from Tyrone to Jamal. You're still the same guy, come on. You might as well have changed his name to Guantanamo Detainee Number 7 or something, you know? Fuck it, man, fuck it, change your name to Why not? Why not? He was a smooth guy, I bet he could have picked up girls, even with that name. Hello, nice to meet you, my name is Some say I'm the bomb. You know? Oh my god, that's so exotic. Oh.
So I'm here with Wasim, chilling out in Dion's apartment.
That is correct.
Doing this podcast between the two of us, which is awesome. He's playing Risk on his phone.
Oh, I've paused it.
You paused it. Thank you.
It's there. Don't worry. I'm about to win, so it's okay. Might as well just give up.
Wasim, man, comedian. Great comedian. One of the funniest guys I know. Honestly, I remember before we even met.
Stop it.
We have a friend in common who I work with. He's like, "Yo, Wasim, he's from Korea."
That's right, Matthew David.
I'm like, "Yeah, he's really funny." And then Dion, one day we were hanging out. Dion's like, "I asked him Wasim to drop by." I'm like, "Oh my god, that guy's so funny." Because I don't have the guts to come and introduce myself to people. But it's great. We worked out. I like to see all your stuff. So
likewise.
You actually started stand up in Korea, in a different country.
That's right. Yeah, I started in Bundang, South Korea, about 40 minutes of Seoul. There was an open mic. My buddy threw a post on Facebook. I'd always thought about it. I always wanted to do it growing up in Montreal, seeing a lot of comedy shows. I used to go out to the works all the time when I was a teenager.
The old works.
Yeah.
Jimbo.
Back in the days. And when I didn't know anything about anything, really, but I enjoyed watching comedy. I always thought maybe I'd want to, you know, give a shot at an open mic. Opportunity came through in Korea. Did it. I thought it went amazing at the time. Looking back, it wasn't particularly that good. But it was okay for a first time. But the thing, I just loved it. I loved it so much. It was like, I got the bug, if you will. Cliche, but I got the bug. And then turns out there was a pretty decent scene in Korea. Like, up in Seoul, people that I had never met. They bring, it's called Stand Up Seoul. Shout out to Jeff Sinclair, Rudy Taiberzi.
They're going
to
hear
run that. I hope they do. They're awesome dudes, and they run a great thing out there. They bring a lot of big headliners in a couple times a year. A lot of really great comics have been through there. Kyle Kinane, Tom Rhodes, Ben Kronberg, Glenn Wool,
Adam
Caton Holland. It's a pretty good scene. Not a lot of performers, about 10, 12 performers in the whole scene, which, you know, it's when people are constantly leaving and then coming and trying it out.
That's a good spot. I like smaller scene just because it's like, yeah, I get to be the best out of 10 people.
Everyone was super supportive there, you know. There was no little rifts or anything. Like, everyone was cool with each other. We all hung out, and it was great to just put on shows with your great, good friends. You know, like, I enjoyed going to shows not just because I got to perform, but because we all hang out have a great time, you know.
Best part of comedy. Because for those who don't know, me and Wasim, or Wasim and I, Diotto and a Batchery, took a car drive to do a stand-up show in Ottawa at a vape lounge. Now, that's kind of the thing that makes me love stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, the show itself was kind of like this, like, calamity of errors.
Yeah.
But it was like...
to say the least.
Yeah, it was... But the drive there, we were laughing, we were having fun, we got something to eat. Like, even the way home, we sat in a pizza place and talked shit for like an hour.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Normally, if I go to an open mic here in the city or would have a show and it doesn't go well, I'll be very depressed and go home. But on a trip like that, I was like, eh. None of us really had a good set. It was a vapor lounge. People were half zombies, barely conscious of anything going on, let alone a comedy show.
We were interrupting them. They just wanted to smoke weed.
Just wanted to look at the wall. They weren't even. And one guy left 2 chains.
Yeah,
and that was awful.
You gotta tell the story. Okay, so Wasim has a great bit. If you've seen him on the scene, he compares. You talk about rap music and specifically 2 chains. About basically it's how stupid it is comparing it to stand up a little bit.
That's a separate bit actually. This was David Bowie had just passed away like a couple days ago at this point, and then it's not a bit I'm ever gonna do it again. I think it was just, you know, in commentary on that, I just wanted to have something that kind of paid tribute a bit. And I'm just comparing David Bowie to 2 Chainz, basically.
That's a great comparison.
Just comparing them lyrically. Let's just see what happens when that happens. And I was doing this bit to this very quiet and uninterested crowd. And one guy goes, "Hey, I love 2 Chainz." And I'm like, I didn't know, like, people who were adults liked 2 Chainz unironically. I didn't know that was a thing that happened. And, yeah, I kind of should have went into it more, but that was funny.
He didn't just say, "I like 2 Chainz." He was, like, a bit offended that you make fun of 2 Chainz.
Yeah, he was kind of shocked. He's supposed to be a comedic rapper. I'm like, well, that's for sure. He's pretty hilarious.
You're supposed to take him seriously, man. As a comedian, you should understand that.
I definitely don't take him seriously.
What's that guy's name? Like Dominic or Pedro?
His name is Hunter.
Oh, Hunter. I don't know why I say Dominic or Pedro.
There's a Sri Lankan guy named Hunter. I'll never forget that.
I'm just smoking his weed. He's like running back and forth through the room, like filling up his like little airbag of weed. It's like
the vapor.
Yeah.
The vapor.
That was fun. They did not want us there. They were like, "You're inconveniencing everyone in this room." Looked like a cafeteria, too. Looked like a high school cafeteria.
Place. Yeah.
Like, you know, the principal gets up in your high school cafeteria to, like, make an announcement? It felt like that. No, elementary school cafeteria. I'll be generous. But yeah, it was a fun trip.
Very few out of places that it would be more out of place to do a comedy show. It was like doing a show in a library, kind of, almost.
That would be so fun.
The people are not there at all to see what you're doing, and they want to enjoy this other thing.
Shh.
Fuck. Yeah. But the point is, it was overall so fun, regardless of the set, because we had a good time together.
Almost drove off without Wasim. That was a fun thing. So we're driving along. And,
did you guys? Fuck you guys. What?
Dion Owen, who is a great friend of mine, made stand-up, has a tiny bladder. So he's like, "Guys, I got to pee." So we pull over to the side. Not even like
it's a rest really stop. Small bladder, by the
way.
I've seen
really
it.
Small bladder.
Minuscule.
He needs to see a doctor. We pull over, and I have a minivan, so I hear the door open. And Wasim opens the door at the same time. So they both get out, and I hear one door close. So I'm like, okay. And then it's kind of late. You know, it's the early part of the trip, I think. The early part of the trip back. So we're kind of still frustrated about the show, even though that wore off a little bit for us. And so I hear the door close and Dion's in. And I go, okay. And I put it in drive and I move up a couple feet. And then like one of them is like, "Why you leave without Wasim?" And then I'm like, "Oh, Wasim got out too?" It was the middle of nowhere. I feel bad.
I'm really glad that you didn't drive away.
Just drive away.
I don't know.
No one would make fun of my driving.
My fate would have been.
It was fun.
I've been a truck stop whore for the rest of my life. Never found my way
You'd
back.
You'd be a good one.
I don't doubt that. I mean, when I put my mind to something,
they don't
you
have
know.
Many. Spice it up.
Yeah, you never know.
But you talk about supportive, and like one thing I don't like about comedians in bigger cities is that we don't try to support each other. We are like kind of clicky. But I think that 4 people got together to drive for free, 2 hours, paid gas to do a shitty show, and we do it all over again. Like, all of us, if I do that, I can say the same for you.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We do it all over again, and it's just like...
I got a free dab, too. That's great. I would just do that for free.
Well,
dab.
If you want to talk about that shit, I won 30 bucks. I won the competition.
There you go.
What up? And people were mad because I stacked the deck. So what? I brought 2 friends, and they voted 0 for everyone else, and 5 for me. Is that my problem? No. I'm just that fucking good. I have fans that are willing to drive.
Those were actual fans.
Yeah,
you didn't even know those
drive.
People, right?
They're coming to the album cover, too.
No way.
I knew those people. They knew them through stand-up. They're like, "You're an amazing guy."
That's amazing. But I have 0 fans. You have 2 fans. But that are not blood-related.
Yeah.
So.
That's good. My family doesn't probably see me. Oh, my God. My material. My family does not like my material. Oh. What about you? Does your family enjoy? Your mom was at a show that I saw you at Comedy Abroad.
Yeah.
By John Selig. Great room.
Yeah. Fantastic room. That was a fun show. Yeah. My mom's come out twice, I believe, at this point to like that show and maybe another open mic. My mom's for her personally, her humor is very corny and like what would have been funny in like 1937 in Lebanon or whatever. I don't know, just the corniest,
Lebanon.
Most awful shit. And there's not a lot of every time I'm sitting with my mom and she'll be like, "Hey, you know, show me some comedian you like," and I'll put someone on and it's Hannibal Buress, for example, is the last one who was one of my favorite comics, and she's not gonna get it. She's not gonna get modern comedians.
Why don't you just put on like Frankie Boyle, Anthony Jeselnik? I think that would
No.
But how awkward would it be if your mom laughed at that kind of stuff? Would it be awkward?
It would be awesome. I think. How awesome would it be? Because I'd be like, "Oh shit, you have a sense of
Wasim
humor.
Wasim, you gotta tell more rape jokes."
She likes Louis C.K. She likes George Carlin, Bill Hicks. So that's hats to her. She's like,
does she like them, or is she like actually felt like listen to stand up, or like would you show her
when I put it on? But no, yeah, she's a fan. She's a fan. She's into the new. She's a very new agey person, and a lot of Bill Hicks's quotes got, and even Carlin kind of got. hijacked by the New Age phenomenon, for better or for worse, and there she probably knows them through that.
Enough Carlin quotes, man. Yeah. We're still getting on I love Carlin. He's one of the most revolutionary guys. Got arrested, just like Lenny Bruce, for doing their stand-up, which revolutionized free speech and stand-up. We wouldn't be here today. Yeah. But there's been so many comics we could quote since then. Like, really, guys? No one's quoting Ricky Gervais or...
People Carlin. Are. I mean, there's memes. There's memes, I guess. Yeah, but yeah, everybody. Yeah. I don't know. Carlin is definitely super iconic for me. My favorite album of all time is Jammin' in New York, which I believe was 1991. It's around the time of the first Gulf War. And I watched this when I was 12 or 13. That's probably the time where I was... It's not that I thought that I would ever do it, but I'm just like, these people are awesome. Like, these are the truth tellers, and these are the real fucking people telling it like it is. And he was talking about the first Gulf War. And when I was watching it, the second Gulf War was going on. This was 2003, 2004. The sequel, exactly. And it was all the same players. And he was kind of poking fun at this whole thing. Dick Cheney, Colin Powell. Somebody got fucked in the ass. That was that joke. And that joke rang so true when I was watching it. And I was like, this is insane. Like, just... So I fell in love with that.
Someone gets fucked in the ass.
Arm form. Yeah. Oh, and it happens a lot.
That's good.
So that's what... he's definitely... one of the reasons I wanted to do comedy.
That's amazing. That's what it's. there's always like the same kind of like six people I hear when people sure. When people ask me like who I like to see, like mm-hmm. who got me into comedy. I'm always like, well, Jimmy Carr, Frankie Boyle, Mitch Hedberg, Stephen Wright, mm-hmm. mostly Anthony Jeselnik, like Shakespeare, which I think is the greatest stand-up album ever made. And people are kind of like, oh, really? Those guys? No Carlin? No Pryor? I came into those guys afterwards. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, all the guys' names are just great joke writers, one-liners especially, you know, which is there's so many styles of comedy. That's the interesting thing is, you know? And what's tough is, like, that ties back into, like, bringing my mom somewhere, you know, is, like, when you go to a music concert, you don't go, I'm going to see music, period. You're like, oh, I'm going to go see the show as jazz band or this reggae band or hip-hop. You don't bring your mom, who loves jazz, to a hip-hop show. But when you go to a comedy open mic, there's just as many genres of comedy. So you can get any one thing. You don't know what you're going to get. So
I think comedy is like... I think what comedy is better than music, in my opinion, just for what I like to see, is all of our iPods or iPhones have different music on them. We can listen to whatever we want. But when you go to like a music show, it's like, oh, I'm going to see Def Leppard. So I sit through 2 hours of Def Leppard. As opposed to comedy, it's like, oh, there's dark comedy, there's light comedy, musical comedy, mm-hmm. you know, like absurdist comedy. There's so much things that I can enjoy and not get tired of.
Yeah.
That's why I get really kind of offended when like everyone, like something popular happens and everyone has a similar joke about it.
Sure.
Like when the Caitlyn Jenner thing happened, when it was popular, yeah. like a 15-act show and everyone's making a joke about it.
Yeah, that's tough. It's inevitable, you know, because you do want to do things that are topical.
Because even if you have a good bit, yeah. it's still watered down by the other people.
I suppose, but, you know, what are you going to do?
So, yeah. I want to talk about bombing a little bit. Something that I think you have both experienced.
I know a thing or two about...
a lot more.
Yeah, well, I grew up in Lebanon, so... Yeah. Well, I didn't grow up in Lebanon. I was born in Lebanon, so... One of the main reasons we left was the bombing. Oh, comedy. You're talking about comedy. Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely bombed several times. I bombed the last time I went up. It was pretty awful. But that's okay.
Last time?
I was at the Comedy Nest on Wednesday for the Comedy Lab show. It wasn't a big crowd. And it wasn't a very good set. It was all new stuff, though. It was about, they have a kind of weekly theme on Wednesdays. So at least it was new. There was a couple.
But you know, I don't get mad at new stuff. Like if I have a joke and it's like new, I'm like, okay, I'm not massaged it yet. Especially with one-liner, but... But, like, when's the time where you, like, cold sweat broke out? Like, how bad were you bombed? Like, the kind of bombing that makes you, when you're walking, leaving the thing, you want to, like, jump, throw yourself into traffic.
Yeah.
Everyone that's
so many. Knows that feeling. Oh, how do I sift how through I all these experiences? These? I'll call back to the one we were just talking about a couple hours ago, which was, this was in Korea where I started, and it was Black History Month, like it is right now. And
this is recorded.
It was a packed house. It was a stand-up Seoul, which is a monthly show of English-speaking comedy for expats in Seoul that happens the first Thursday of every month. It's still going strong. And they packed this, you know, this bar. It's a pretty good room. And I was doing this bit about Black History Month. And I thought it was tasteful. It wasn't. I didn't deliver it properly. But I was trying to be on the... Listen.
I thought it was tasteful.
Let me justify myself.
The way he looked, arms open, looking around the room to justify, like, I thought it was tasteful.
I'm speaking to the four black people who were frowning at me in the front row. The premise of it was that of all the horrible things that have been the black people have gone through and have been done to them, that like here's the reparations. We're the actual reparations. Nowhere. You get a month. That was my thing. The point was like it's like a bad game show prize. You think you're gonna win this great show? You're gonna win.
Did you
this
talk about the showcase
thing that you deserve?
That's like the first showcase. And what's that stupid show that Drew Carey hosts? The joke would be funnier if I. Not Wheel of Fortune.
Price is Right.
Price is Right.
Man, that would.
It wasn't. Yeah, perhaps. It wasn't well thought out. It was something I thought of that day, and I was like, I'll try this. It was brand new, and I never did it again. And it wasn't well thought out, and it came out horribly. And I had the sweats. I just had these. I was dead silence. And my buddy Jonathan was a great comic who you guys have met. Just crushed. I went on right after him. He just destroyed that room.
Oh.
And then I went on and just fumbled at a paper. I was talking about Black History Month.
Kind of ruined his night there a little bit because he's crushed. He has to sit next to his friend. He's like, "Oh my god."
It was pretty bad. It was extra bad because of that. And yeah, that time, yeah, I was sweating and I was like, oh God. And when I got off stage, I pretty much just ran out of the fucking place. And never.
You ever apologized to the guy that follows you for bombing?
No.
I have once, almost. When I first started my first year, I bombed horribly. And I do dark jokes now, which are kind of dark and some people don't like them, but I'm more, what's the word? I don't even know. So I'm going to move on. But back then, it was just shock for the sake of shock. And I remember bombing so hard. And the audience was mad because you're making really bad rape jokes, which is not okay. And
I'm just...
Bad rape jokes.
Actually, this is the best advice I ever gotten from a comic.
It's not okay.
Jeff Shula was going on after me. And I have so much... Especially back then in my life, I have so much like mental anxiety and social anxiety that I was walking up to him apologizing for bombing, and I started to tear up a little bit because I thought like, oh my god, I'm gonna die. I'm having the panic attacks, the sweats, and no laughs, by the way. It wasn't even like a chuckle. It was just like these people want to be dead. So I apologize to this guy, and I apologize, and he looks at me, and he's with a smile. He pats me on the shoulder. He goes, "Never apologize for learning."
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's a super nice guy.
Yeah,
he's
and he's really
funny too.
Because people come up to me now and be like, "Hey man, 2.5 years ago, you made this joke." I'm like, yeah, it's a terrible joke, but I'm not going to apologize for making it because I have this beautiful joke now from that.
Right. Yeah, people have to understand that this, you know, it's an art form like any other that you have to practice. And this one, unfortunately, you have to be extremely green in front of people. Like when you're learning the guitar, you're in your house going like ding, ding, and it's sucking. But eventually you get good and then you go in front of people. But this, you got to be in front of people. Yeah. So your first time, you don't know what the hell you're doing. So people, I think, need to give a bit more leeway to people who are green, you know, it's just starting out.
No one makes a Facebook event to be like, hey, come to my house. I'm learning to play guitar for the first time.
Yeah.
2-drink minimum.
Exactly. It doesn't happen.
Nobody
wants to see that. And very few of your friends want to see you do comedy either, but they come.
Yeah.
They're good for them.
No, most of your friends are coming just because they want to see you do badly. I'm going to be honest with
you. I hope that wasn't the case. Fuck you, friends. That was what you were doing? That's why you all came?
Oh, so embarrassing. Fuck. The worst when you're new and you're so... I think the first set you have that you do well on and you think that you know how to do comedy. I remember the first time I crushed. I'm like, I'm ready for my special. I'm going to go up to the guy and ask for weekend spots. And then like watching it back recently, mine for like jokes. I'm just like, oh my god, this is painful. Like I can't. It's too awkward.
Yeah.
And then you invite friends over and they watch you get your dick kicked in front of everybody. I remember the one time I was at the Nest again. It was packed for some reason. And like I had brought 15 people the week before, and like this time I brought like 20 people that wanted to see me do stand up because I'd done it like I think a couple months without like inviting people, and I'm like, I know how to do stand up. I got put on last. I asked to get put on last.
Well, yeah, because if you bring that many people, that's
sure.
Can I would put you on last.
The guy's like, you're closing the show, and I'm like, fuck yeah, right? Like the fucking best one here is closing the show. I made an age joke to open. When it was even a good age joke, I'm just like, I hate blood tests because I get nervous and also I have AIDS, which is not a joke. It's not even clever. oh my god. And then I got nervous. And
that's hilarious for me right now.
I go to pick up my paper, and it's folded because I was so confident in myself that I didn't need to look. So I'm shaking as this paper, and it's like molting loose leaves, like four loose leaf folded. So I keep dropping them on the stage.
Oh, terrible.
And like the mic stand has an adjustment thing, so you can adjust the height. Mm-hmm. And I never, to this day, I can't put the mic in the mic stand because I can't play with that. Like it gets so awkward. So it was in, and it kept falling down, and I kept trying to pull it up, and then the mic got wrapped around the stand, and I couldn't do it. Oh.
Oh yeah, getting tangled in the cords and shit isn't awful. Than that once or twice my first few times.
I went, not knowing
how to like handle a microphone in a stand.
That's yelled at one of the clubs because I was walking around and I stepped on the mic cord and it pulled it out.
Mm,
so yeah. And the guy had to come up and reattach it for me. And he's like, oh man, how do you not know how to do these simple things? Oh my god,
that'll happen.
Paranoid. Are you paranoid about tripping over the mic cord?
Oh, for sure. Every time I go up.
Or getting it out of the stand. Me getting it out of the stand and putting it back in. There's always, if you see me live, there's always this weird thing where like I'll do my closing joke or I'll be able to do my closer and I'll bring the mic stand in like everyone does and like I'll try to put it on, but I always fumble. I don't want as I'm talking, I don't want that awkwardness. So I'll just tell my last joke and then spend like awkward 10 seconds, 15 seconds trying to get the mic in the mic stand.
Yeah. And actually, I had a horrible experience once. The mic was kind of jammed into the holder at the top of the mic stand. And there was so much force I had to use. And I just yanked it out and smashed the microphone into my forehead. And that was that was how I started my set.
The people laughed.
And there was a mark. I hit myself so hard. There was like, you know, this little kind of mesh looking.
Somebody hit you with a fly swatter in the forehead.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. It was ridiculous. Like I just ran through a screen door because I've done that before. And it left the same kind
of screen door.
Once I thought it was I was drunk. It was a person I did not know. It was their home. It wasn't even a big party. It was like 6-7 people. And I just bolted through the screen door. I thought it was just air. And I destroyed this. Whatever. They lived in Outremont. They were rich. Fuck them. I don't feel bad.
Is that the first time you met them?
Pretty much. I knew them very. It was a friend of a friend's place.
Fucking
it was a small gathering, and I smashed the screen door, and I had an insane mark, and that was the same mark that the microphone left. So I'm doing my set with this fucking mark on my head.
Are you rubbing it? I can just imagine you rubbing it, like my head.
At the time, I didn't think much of it. I ignored it, and I just did my material.
Did you ignored it?
No, I mentioned, I was just like, okay, oh God. And then I just did my stuff. What, am I going to talk about it for 10 minutes? No. I smashed my head. All right. I don't remember what I said. I'm like, yeah, that happened or whatever, something. And then I just did my material.
That's good.
Yes, you just saw that. I said something like that. I acknowledged it, but.
One thing I see that like getting old, like not getting older, but getting more experience in stand-up is that when things fuck up, when I was really early on, you're so like, oh no, it's all over. But now you're just like, oh, it's something I could talk about.
Yeah, I suppose. Well, it still feels awful. it still feels pretty bad.
My persona is such like a badass, and he's in control. And he's the biggest asshole in the world. And one time, I told a joke, and I was walking on stage, like soaking up the laughter, and I tripped on fell, but just kind of stumbled,
mm-hmm.
And then people were kind of laughing at that. And it's hard for me to be like, yeah, I'm still a badass. So for me, it's kind of awkward to do that stuff. Plus, I'm terrible. I have terrible hand-eye coordination.
You practice that.
I don't know how.
There's got to be an exercise out there. You should buy a mic and a stand and just practice.
You should. I have a stool in my room.
That's good.
And I put water on it.
Practice being next to a stool, just so you're not put off when you get on stage. Whoa, what's this stool doing here?
Stool. No.
Oh no, I got this. I practiced with standing next to a stool.
Have you seen that? One of the clubs they put "Do not sit" on the stool. It's like it's a fucking stool.
Really?
Yeah, there's a big like sticker that faces up, so you can't see it from you. Can see it from your stage. I look over; it says "Do not sit." Like, if I want to sit down, I'll fucking sit down.
That's a huge tease.
Why do you have a stool there? For notebooks,
phones,
maybe
for water and shit. Just have a fucking table then. Have a table.
Yeah,
but all that stuff. It took me 3 years, literally. Actually, no, it's taken me for like the 4 years. But I can't comfortably take the mic stand and put it into the corner of the stage. It's always awkward for me. No matter how hard I try, it's always like.
Really?
It's always like I have to think about not fucking up. Or sometimes it would get wrapped around the corner of the microphone, so I try to move it and move the microphone and then unattach it.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to break this down. First thing, you take the mic out. Make sure you don't smash your face or any other body part with it. That's number one. People out there writing this down. You should be writing this down.
This is stand up. This is stand up.
This is literal stand up 101 right here.
We don't know.
So make sure you got the mic firmly in your hand. You want a firm grip. You don't want to be squeezing it, right? But you want a firm grip. Make sure it's in there. Make sure it's untangled. Then you can move the stand. You're good.
Oh, so yeah. There's one stage we do at a club that really pissed me off. Is it was the way the stage was made. It was like two pieces of wood put together. So there was a gap in the middle. So I'd always get the mics caught in that little gap. Get your shit together, guys.
Yeah, those gap stages. We'll get you.
I did a show once with a wireless mic. I was so happy.
So, yeah, I've done that a couple times. That's very nice. It's very freeing.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm Frank Sinatra or something.
I've been looking at him. I'm just randomly going to intrude here on the podcast.
That's cool.
I've been trying not to laugh.
We're shooting two in one day, so it's okay.
Would you guys like to... Some performers do it with the lapel mic. I've never got to try it. Like totally arm-free.
Late night show...
some of the
Jimmy Carr does it.
Robin Williams did it as well, and it gives them this animation.
I don't know. I like holding a microphone. It's more safe.
It's literally the only safety thing you have. As a musician, you have like this thing, but as the comedian, that's the only thing I can hide behind. I got this, and it's like my little teddy bear.
It's
on
like
stage.
A safety thing.
Yeah.
Especially, I still do this, but I like to hold the mic stand a lot.
Oh, yeah,
it's weird. It's weirdly comforting.
It's weirdly.
You should get. I've actually gotten away from that because if you listen to recordings, and it's actually someone told me this, where it's like. Some sounds are annoying to people, and so when a lot of people hold it, they rock it back and forth, so you can hear it clipping, and a lot of people get distracted by that.
I use it. That's cool. I don't make too much noise. If it literally
if you just
some
I don't rock it. There's no. I don't need.
No,
to
I
rocking.
Just hold it.
I'm
I
not
just
a rocker.
Lean on it.
Just play lightsaber. Then
I've seen people do that.
Yeah,
that's it's worked. It's been
the worst is when the top part goes all the way down at the end of the stage, and pull it back up.
Yeah, that's
it's like
guys,
oh,
you've done 27 minutes about
your phone. 25 minutes, okay? We're just gonna have a small. We've been laughing the whole time.
It's been hilarious.
So Dion's hosting my podcast.
Mm-hmm. I just have to pee and I have a small bladder.
You can pee.
That's true.
That's all that you guys will hear.
You can pee.
I'm gonna go pee then.
So go pee.
If you hear it,
you probably won't hear it. No one's gonna care.
Yeah. But if you do hear it,
so
it's Dion peeing.
Dion's hurrying us up here for this podcast. My podcast, he's hurrying me up. It's cool. So if we talk about your influence, talk about everything, man. What are some of your favorite rooms to do in the city?
I like Shaika a lot.
Let's take the clubs out of this because all the three clubs are amazing. We thank you for putting us up in your own mics. But we'll talk about more of the alt seats. So what are your favorite mics to hit up monthly?
I really like Shaika Cafe. It's a really cool vibe. I live across the street.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tuesday nights.
Dan and Chris are super funny and awesome. Always put on a great show. Always have a good vibe. That would be my number one. I like Comedy Abroad, which is run by John Selig on Saint-André at M-Bar. It's a hostel. Got an international crowd. It's a really nice room to do. Those are probably my two. Yeah,
those are great. Yeah, those are great. Both great rooms.
Catacombs is a super good venue as well. But I mean, not that, you know, we got the album cover show going there. Hopefully that'll be monthly soon. But that's an awesome room. We did that once. We had a little...
Monkey making noise, I think it was.
Monkeys making noise. That's what it was. It was great. It was
had
a great
some
stage.
Black people out there. It was kind of racist, but...
Yeah, we won't go there. That's Dion. That's, you know.
Small bladder,
really racist. Those are the
two things you have to know about Dion. He's really racist and he has a small bladder.
That sums him
Spread
up.
Spread that around.
That sums him up.
Spread that around. Okay, who do you think I should interview next to get into this podcast? Who would you want to hear someone? Don't go David Ack or like Louis C.K.
Yeah, you should get Charlie Sheen. Oh, no, comics. Only comics?
Yeah, comics in the scene.
Comics in the scene. That was
maybe a promoter or whatever.
Probably Rodney Ramsey. He's a really funny guy. Yeah. Paul Beluyet. Those are two guys who've been at it for a while, and I think are really good. I enjoy watching.
Hopefully, this has been fun, man. Laughing all the time. Great guy. Hits up the improv quite frequently at TSC.
And a lot of THC too.
THC.
Yeah. Usually at TSC, there's THC as well.
You can see him all over the scene. You can see him at Ladies and Gentlemen at Cafe Shake. You can see him at Burritoville quite often. McLean's even on a Sunday night, 10 o'clock. You can see him. Look out for him. Album cover comedy show, February 28th. If it's past, it's tough shit. Look at the next one. It'll probably be featuring or even hosting the next one. Most likely. Thank you guys. It's been Wasim Al-Munzer. Thank you very much, Wasim.
Thanks, Will.